Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. Thank you so much, Minister Micah, Daniel, worship team. Appreciate you. I do believe this is the first Christmas message I'll be preaching in this Christmas season. We're in a series called Home for the Holidays. What a powerful text of scripture. Tonight, you don't want to miss tonight. I had a dream that the Lord shared with me last night as I wrestle every Saturday night. It's awesome. I need rest on Monday, but I don't feel tired at all, but I don't sleep a whole lot. I pray, I dream, I'm preaching in my sleep, I see things. It's just the process that the Lord has me in for many, many years now. And I heard a text of scripture found in Luke about Zechariah. The prayer you used to pray has been heard. I know that passage of scripture because I've preached from it many times. Tonight, I'm gonna preach from it again with a twist, and you don't wanna miss it. It is a powerful, powerful message tonight, family night. We'd encourage you to come. Last Sunday night, my gosh, it was powerful. So many people in church. Sunday night is one of my favorite services, along with Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, Sunday morning at 11 is also my favorite. Sunday night at 6 and Wednesday, they're all my favorites. All right. Luke chapter 1, and stand up on your feet. Luke chapter 1, and go to verse 26 as we continue in our series, Home for the Holidays. Luke 1, 26. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation as I'm endeavoring to share the word in language that most understand. There are times that it falls short, and then I will deviate from it. But for today, we're going to go ahead and read it in this version for these first verses. Luke 1, verse 26, we stand for the reading of God's word to honor it. If you're able to, please do it. Here we go. Luke 1, verse 26, New Living Translation. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel to Gabriel, the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the village of Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Would you read that part? "For you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be very great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Let's say that again. "For the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. Wow. Father, we're so grateful for your manifold blessings and for your word that sanctifies, your word that releases faith, your word that you stand over to see it performed. I pray in the moments that remain this morning that you would mark us that you would impact us, that we would be transformed by the preaching of your word. I pray once again that you would hide me behind the cross, that as I preach, you would burn faith in the hearts of each and every family here, all those online and those that will listen in the future. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Come on, give a big amen to the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I remember years ago, and I think it was around the holidays, my brother Chris on the front row, who'll be heading off to Central America, Costa Rica, for about 40 days, and then he'll be right back. He leaves tonight, and Father bless him as he goes and as he returns in Jesus' name. You might remember one of our cousins got married. It was somewhere on the East Coast. And after the wedding, they went and worshiped Mary. They went over to the side and they burned incense to this Mary, this statue of Mary. And I thought, wow. I wasn't born again back then. I am now. And as I studied, I began to understand a little bit about Mary and some of the Catholicism on my father's side is Catholics, on my mother's side, evangelicals. And I began to understand about this worship of Mary and how that happened. And if you've ever gone to our new member, our belong class or membership class, you'll find out a little bit about that. How many of you came out of the Catholic, a Catholic background? All right. Not that many really in Alaska, but on the East Coast, Louisiana's filled with people that were in Catholicism. And Mary is not to be worshipped. Everybody say amen. Look at your text. Now, I've shared this other years, but I felt very impressed to share it again. Mary should be honored. He said, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the scriptures tell us in Luke 1 and 28, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. She had favor. And in Luke 1 and 42, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed, Mary, God has blessed you above all women. So she's blessed above all women. Somebody say, wow. I thought that was my wife, but the scripture says it's Mary. Verse 48 of Luke 1, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. So Mary should be honored. And in Catholicism, and maybe in your own thinking, there's a distortion, and the distortion is found from Luke 1 and 28. Luke 1:28. Come on, turn with me. Luke 1:28. You all see it there? Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. The NIV says a little bit differently. The Catholics took that and they changed it to Hail Mary, full of grace. The scripture means that the grace of God has been poured out. The favor of God has been poured out upon Mary. But the Catholics took it to change it to say, Hail Mary, full of grace, which means basically that Mary is a channel of grace, that grace flows from Mary. Grace does not flow from Mary. And if your name is Mary, God bless you. The text is a picture that she's a receiver of grace, but the phrase Hail Mary is a picture that she's a giver of grace. And in church history, there's someone who called her the redemptrix or the mediatrix. See, because Jesus came through her, they saw her as the mediator. But she's not the mediator. She was just a vessel. Mariology, like Catholicism. Some have suggested that she actually has a special place in heaven where you can come and ask her to do things for Jesus because she's Jesus' mother. Now, I know your mama's important, so is mine. And the mother of Jesus, mother of God is important. And the mother of God, we'll talk about that in a minute too. That was really 4th or 5th century. It was coined to fight against some heresy. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the mother of God, although the mother of God then has authority over God, over Jesus. How many of you know Mary doesn't have authority over? Okay. But to believe that that's true is very demeaning. It's demeaning to Christ. It's demeaning to you. It puts a picture of hierarchy. Well, if Mary's the greatest woman and that she's the mediatrix or the mediator, then it gives this hierarchy. Then you're not as high as Mary. No, we are all kings and priests. We're all redeemed. Everyone here, you don't have to go to Mary. You go to God yourself. Come on, somebody say amen. And it undermines us as believers. We're all adopted. We're all grafted in. Well, she's his mother. You're his family too. Can you say amen? If you're born again. And it also demeans prayer. Demeans the believer to imply there's some sort of hierarchy, and it demeans to think that there's some different way that you need to pray and you actually need to go to Mary, and if she doesn't really like your request and she changes things. Listen, if this is upsetting you, I'm so sorry. But wouldn't you rather know the truth? You can't find these things that are taught or made up by religion. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 says this, verse 14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced the same things, testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us boldly come to Mary. Now, that is not what it says. Let us boldly come to the throne of our gracious God, then we will receive mercy. It's a picture that actually, that if you don't come to the throne in prayer, you don't get mercy that could be released if you did. Prayer needs to be the cornerstone of your life. Well, Christ is, but that relationship with him is, and as you talk with him and relate with him, that's prayer. Your life should be a life of prayer, worship. Worship really is like the highest form of prayer. Come boldly to the gracious throne and receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We don't pray in the name of Mary. We pray in the name of Jesus. Mary is the mother of God. Fourth and fifth century, and we're right in the notes now. Fourth and fifth century had Arianism. Arianism was the idea that because Mary birthed Christ, that she had a place that was equal or even higher than Christ, and then literally undermined the fact that Jesus is God. Because if he came from the Father, that he was lesser than God, and Mary was even equal to or more than. And it's called Arianism. It's heresy. Fourth and fifth century taught that. And so what they did is they came up with this, the Catholic Church came up with this idea. I don't know where it comes from. Correction. Catholic Church came up with that, but it was fought against by the early church, fourth and fifth century, by the phrase Mary, mother of God. In other words, God is still God. You're just a woman that birthed her. It's very different. It was a correction, and then it got twisted, pardon me, by the Catholic Church to say that Mary should be worshipped. Does that understand? All right, if I'm shooting over your head, don't worry. We're going to get into the main part of the text, but I felt to bring this pastorally to correct some, as I've done it other years, we've taught on this. Mary, the perpetual virgin. Anybody ever heard of that? In other words, that she was a virgin when she was overshadowed and she brought forth Christ, but then they came up with this idea, well, she was sinless and that she was a virgin her whole life. Well, that's not true, because that's not in scripture. Jesus had brothers and sisters, and there's lots of scriptures for that. And that came from the monastic movement. Even Saint Anthony is a favorite of ours. He's just an intense guy, even though he was an anti-Semite. Oh, yeah. Early church fathers, many of them were anti-Semites, and we taught you on that just recently about why we stand with Israel. It's on YouTube. Go ahead and get it. Wrote different things. You know, the Jews killed Christ. A lot of them were Jew haters. It's just disturbing. Anyway, listen to me. Judaism didn't end with the birth of Christ. Otherwise, Romans 11 wouldn't be written. There's a judicial, timed blindness a temporary blindness that Israel has that one day will be lifted off. The fullness of the Gentiles come. Jews will come to Christ, and 144,000 Jewish evangelists, as it says in the book of Revelation, will cover the earth during the tribulation. Can you say amen? All right. Wow, that's intense. The perpetual virgin, Saint Anthony, started the monastic movement, and he went out to the desert to fight demons. He said, well, since the church is doing so good in cities, we're going to go out and fight demons in the desert. And I just like the attitude of fighting. I just like it. One of the problems with the monastic movement is began to develop ideas that were unscriptural. It was certainly amazing. Little church history for you. It was amazing that it preserved the Word of God. You would not be holding on your device or in your hot little hand right now the Word of God, inerrant, the canon of Scripture. You would not be holding it if the monastic movement didn't exist. While they took the Word out of the people's hands, they also preserved it through the Dark Ages, and the enemy would have loved to pervert that. And men like Jerome, different ones, gave their whole life. I mean, their whole life translating the Scriptures. And so we owe them a debt for that. But the monastic movement came up with these crazy ideas like the perpetual virgin, that Mary was a virgin when she was overshadowed, and she was a virgin the rest of her life. And that's not true. The Immaculate Conception is this idea that Mary's free from all sin, that she was sinless. That's not true. Catholic doctrine, Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary, is formulated with absolute precision for the all time by Pope Pius IX in 1854. It's just not true. Mary's not free from sin. She was a sinner just like you are, just like you are or were. I don't practice sin, so I don't call myself a sinner. We all stumble. Until you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're in sin. After you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're no longer in sin. I don't practice sin. I don't continue in sin. And I trip occasionally. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you continue to sin and you practice it, then you're probably not born again. That's from John, 1 John. Okay, the bodily assumption. This is in 1950. They actually, 1950! The Catholics say that Mary was transported to heaven. No. The truth about Mary, back in your notes, is she's not to be worshipped. She's not to be worshipped. In Luke 11, 27, as Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. And Jesus says in verse 28, he replied, blessed rather, this is a New International Version, I liked it better than the NLT. Blessed rather are you who hear the word of God and obey it. So he instantly says that those who hear the word of God and obey are more blessed than she is. All right, she's an example, however, of all of us, of God's favor. Listen closely, they get to the core of this message. God's favor can rest on your life. Say it with me. God's favor can rest on my life. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, God's favor can rest on you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, God's favor can rest on you. It's possible. Understanding the favor of God, the favor in the Greek language is charis. It's the word that we get charisma from. It's 155 times throughout Scripture, mostly translated grace. A couple times it's translated thanks. 119 times it's translated grace. 5 times it's translated thanks. And grace is defined as unmerited favor. I did a whole series on grace. You can't just put it in a word, in a sentence and say, oh, well, what's grace? It's unmerited favor. But it certainly is unmerited favor. Every act of God's blessing or grace is unmerited, meaning that no matter how righteous you are, no matter how much you gave, no matter how much you serve, you surrender your body to the flames, none of us deserve God's favor. God's favor is released on the basis of Jesus' death and resurrection and us believing in and repenting of our sin. Nothing in us demands favor. Say that. Nothing in me demands favor except Christ. It's interesting that Mary was chosen. God chose Mary. God chose Mary. And she surrendered to the plan, which, I mean, she was a young girl. I mean, a young woman, of course. A young woman. And can you imagine God visiting? First of all, this doesn't happen anymore. Okay. God shows her, and that's profound. And favor, unmerited favor, or grace. You know what that comes from? It comes by being used by God. In other words, Mary surrendered, but she could have chosen not to. And guess what? She wouldn't have been all blessed. She chose to yield, chose to surrender and be used by God. And I'm going to tell you how God's favor comes, if I can get to the application for a moment. God's favor comes when he uses you. When you choose to say, I'm going to let him use. Everyone here could be used by God. Every single person. It first starts by receiving Jesus, repenting of your sin. But then it's by being used by God, sharing your faith and praying and being used by God. That's how favor is released. All right, how to walk in favor. How to walk in the favor of God. But realize that you've been chosen. I might preach right here because I read these texts of scripture and just my spirit does backflips. In John 15, verse 16, you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. Romans 8 and 29, for God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Ephesians chapter 1. In the New International Version reads, praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him. Come on, somebody say, he chose me. Listen, but you have to respond. Mary had to say, yes, may it be unto me as you have spoken. God chooses you today. You have to say yes. If you want unmerited favor, you want God's blessing, you want God's power, you want God's provision, you want God's plan released through your life, you have to say yes. You don't just get to sit on your and just expect it's going to happen. You missed a great place to say amen. Mary said yes. She surrendered. God's favor can rest on you if you say yes, if you surrender to his plan. I've known over and over. Bump the person next to you that's on Instagram and wake them up. I've known over and over. Over and over, I see this. I see people come in and they half step with God. They don't really get in the word. They don't really submit to God's plan. And they try it as something in their life, along with other sort of counseling or some other. And I'm not against counseling. I'm against worldly counseling. I'm all for Christian counseling. I'm just going to say, it's my opinion. If your counselor is not a Christian, biblically based counseling will mess you up. So I'm all for biblical counseling. I am absolutely against the other one because it's just, you don't know what you're going to get. Are there exceptions? Probably. But even then, the probably is based on biblical principles. I've known people that have not fulfilled the plan of God because he just had one foot. Yeah, I like when my hair stands on end, but they don't apply it to their finances. They don't apply it to their marriage. They don't apply it to their single life. They don't apply it to raising their children. They don't apply it to their business. And they wonder, well, if God's so good, how come I'm? Because you're disobedient. You don't live for God, really. You're only half in the bag. You come occasionally. I mean, if you took a bath once a month, you'd have scurvy. Some of you have spiritual scurvy. Scurvy is a disease, I think from the 1700s, 1800s, that was on people that were on ships for a long time and couldn't get clean. Caused by no vitamin C. Christ. C for Christ. You need Christ to get rid of your scurvy. Come on, somebody say amen. Ephesians 2. Are you okay? Ephesians 2:10, for we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. I was talking to Chansey, and where are you? All right, you can hear me, because I know they have it turned up in the lobby out there. And he was telling me, when I fully submerged into the things of God, I got radically delivered. That is the way it is for every single one of us. If you don't read the word every day, you might have a problem. If you don't pray, I mean, can you try being married and not talk to your wife or your spouse? Will not go too well. Pastor Karen says, Daniel, pastor. I'm like, huh? Sometimes we don't listen. You don't spend time with Jesus. You don't read the word. You don't worship. Then you need to check your salvation. There might be something wrong there. In fact, I would say emphatically, there is something wrong. You don't have to convince me to date my wife. 26 years, last Wednesday. You got to submerse yourself into the things of God. What are you saying? I'm saying that God's chosen you, but you have to choose him. Ephesians 2:19, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints who are God's household. Oh my. Everyone who responds to the gospel, listen closely, everyone who responds to the good news of Jesus crucified and resurrected receives grace, receives favor. What you do with it then is up to you. God loves you, but favor is released as you obey him. He sent his son in so doing, really for the whole world, but you have to respond to his call. You have to respond. Just because he died on a cross and rose again from the grave doesn't mean that you were uncategorically born again now, that everybody's saved. That's universalism. It's crazy. There's actually people out there teaching that everyone is saved because he died for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of the whole world, but you access his favor, you access his forgiveness, you access his grace by repenting, by surrendering, like Mary did. She had to surrender. She's like, all right, I don't understand, but go for it. Realize we're a part of God's plan. Mary had to say yes. And as I was just saying, we have the mistaken idea that we can do, that God will do things in us without our help. You can't do what God does and what God did, and he won't do your part. You had to get yourself up today. You had to bring yourself to church. You have a free will. Love is not in a vacuum. Can you imagine if God just, why didn't God just make everybody love him? Because that's not free will. We're made in his image and like this. It would be crazy. Just wound up man or woman and then they would just, I love you and obey. That's not the way it is. You have to choose him. The deist says that God winds up creation and then watches it afar off and looks at it. That's God is intimately involved in his creation, and he sent his son for you and for me, and he's chosen you. But you have to respond and realize that you're part of God's plan. Come on, somebody say, I'm part of God's plan. Recognize your need for the Holy Spirit. This is so powerful. Luke, write this deliberately. It's a picture of creation. You'll be overshadowed. To me, it refers really back to Genesis 1. The angel says, you'll be overshadowed. Wow. Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Spirit will overshadow you. You know, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you get changed. So I've never had that happen. Stick around. Come for prayer at the end of service. We'll conclude. We'll have people up here praying. Come. If you've not been baptized in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, come. If you've never experienced God's power, come. Come and receive prayer. Some of you are like, well, back in 1970, I was in the Jesus movement. God touched by the Spirit of God, but it's been a long time. Well, that's not God's fault. That's you. We got to walk in dependence. Got to be dependent on him. Believe God for the impossible to be done. Verse 37 is like a neon sign. For nothing's impossible with God. I want you to say that. Nothing's impossible with God. Say it again. Nothing. Say it like you mean it. Ready, set, go.
Nothing's impossible.
Okay, say it again. Nothing. Okay, so now think of some of the things that are impossible. So if you had some things come up right now, you have to swipe that and start saying, no, he can do it. He can do it. Incurable, they have an incurable terminal disease. Not true. They're practicing medicine, thank God. God is the one who raises the dead, heals the sick, set the captives free. Leukemia cannot stand before God. Nothing can stand before him. We stand on his word. We decree it. We proclaim it. Come on, believe that God can do the impossible because he can. It's my job to equip you, to fire you up, to get you to a place that said, man, God did it for that person, did it in scripture. He can do it for me. God can do it for you. You don't have some irreparable disease. You don't, come on, you're not to the place where you're reprobate. If you're here and you can hear me right now, that's not you. Reprobate minds do exist. But if you're hearing these words right now, it is not you. God is able to do the impossible. To walk in God's favor requires dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And lastly, as the worship team comes, humbly surrender, verse 38. Humbly surrender.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.